I met my wife shortly after we both turned 30, and neither of us had great things to say about our 20s. We had each spent a lot of time and energy on long-distance relationships, you know, trying to tease them into permanence and failing. And we discovered that neither one of us was living the dream in Los Angeles. She was an unhappy attorney. I had been trying to piece together a Hollywood career that wouldn't gel. And so in those early months of going out, we would have conversations about how we were going to, you know, reinvent ourselves in the big city. And then she floated this mad thought, why don't we move to Cambria? Now, this wasn't completely out of left field because she owned a house there, but it started to take on this revolutionary energy that we would ditch our lives, blow up our careers, start from scratch, light out for the North, seeking our authentic selves, which was a very empowering concept, unless you have a little voice in your head like I do going, that's authentic? Which is like the metaphysical version of, you're wearing that? Well, I was wearing that. We blew it all up and we moved to Cambria, no game plan. We were playing chicken with the universe, and the universe didn't blink. The universe didn't give a shit. And this rallying cry of, we have no idea what we're doing, turned into, we have no idea what we're doing. And there were bills to pay. Now, I had one freelance writing gig. I was working on an interactive, immersive music video CD-ROM that was the brainchild for this perpetually stoned multimedia wunderkind. And I would drive up to the Bay Area, and he would blow smoke in my face and ramble for hours, and I'd come back with the notes and try to make sense of it, but that wasn't a project that had legs. So when we heard from an acquaintance that there was an opening to deliver the newspaper, at that time, the Telegram Tribune, you know, we jumped at it. And in short order, the supervisor, Rick, came to our house to check us out, and he invited me to go on a ride-along. Now, I wasn't alone. There was also Steve, this young, very intense, scrawny guy who was the alternate driver. He'd been the backup delivery guy. I assumed as the understudy, he'd get the full-time job. But Rick was clearly keeping his options open. And on the ride along, Rick did everything. I mean, he drove the route and he threw all the papers and he talked nonstop. And he basically had one point to make. He said, a supervisor is like the manager of a sports team. When the team wins, the manager looks good. The manager looks good when the team plays well. And it's possible he restated this another 12 times. But I was in full ass-kissing mode, so I kept serving up, you know, different sports to see if they'd fit that stellar analogy. Does it work with baseball? Yeah, it works with baseball. What about basketball? Absolutely basketball. Steve, not saying a word. He's sitting directly behind me, stone silent. I don't know whether he's Zen master delivery guy or a ticking time bomb. Rick calls that night. We've got the gig. Now, and Steve will remain the alternate. We can work with him anytime that we need a sub. Now, here was the upside about having this paper out. It was an afternoon paper back then. There was no getting up at the crack of dawn. So it was a sweet middle-of-the-day gig. And all the old people of Cambria, all those retirees, they were so happy to get that 230 paper. They'd be waiting on their porch or in the driveway so they could grab it and read it with their tea, and then a couple hours later, bomb down the hill to the early bird specials. And another upside is that Cambria is gorgeous. I mean, if you're going to be driving around for two and a half hours a day, you could do a lot worse. Here was the downside of having a paper route. I wasn't nine. I was a painfully self-conscious 32. Sheepish and arrogant. I'd been to a good college. I'd worked with a network. I'd worked with a studio. You know, I felt like some deposed Hungarian prince washing dishes in a Parisian restaurant and muttering, they have no idea who I am. And really related to that was another downside, which was that at some point I was going to have to explain to my parents what I meant when I said that I was an outreach and distribution coordinator for a local media outlet. They were baffled and alarmed. You know, it was important to them that I was the golden child and the can't-miss kid. I mean, that's where I was in family mythology. And they insisted that I explain how this twist connected to my inevitable success. And I couldn't do that math. You know, I was kind of baffled and alarmed all for myself. And I started getting very defensive, and then I stopped calling on Sundays. So at 32, I not only got my first paper route, but I was having my adolescent rebellion. It was a banner year. What I wasn't going to explain, and what was none of their business, was that I was having a great time with my girlfriend. We would get in the car and start driving, and we would laugh and sing and chuck those papers, go swing, swing out the window. Swing was a word we stole from Wayne's World, and then we modified it for our own devices. And I realized that I had no idea who this person was when I decided to throw in my chips and move. And that given that, I was a lot luckier than I deserved to be. That with all of the angst that I was whipping up, this was something very solid. This was the best thing in my life, and I needed a best thing. So then she got a couple of jobs in town, and I saw an ad in the very paper I was delivering for a brand new video game company in Los Osos. They were looking for game designers. And so in a moment of moxie, I sent them a letter. I said that I was a Hollywood exile, that I had been working on a cutting-edge, interactive, immersive music video CD-ROM, and I'd love to come in and talk to them about new ideas. And they swallow that bullshit. And they called and said, great, can you come in Friday at 2? And I didn't know a lot about job interviews, but I figured you don't ask, can I do it after my paper route? So I called Steve. He was very gracious, ready to go. He remembered the route. I told him who the new subscribers were, gave him those addresses. Great, we locked that down. I go down to Los Osos, I meet the president of the video game company, a very excitable 22-year-old who has, you know, visions of grandeur, and I'm the Hollywood bonbon that, you know, he's just got to have. So that was a lovin'. And I come home feeling great, and there are 45 messages on my answering machine. The first one goes, yeah, this is Steve. I'm not doing the shift. I'm not doing any shifts ever. Steve was a time bomb. At least I had closure. You know, I'm always thankful for closure. And you know what the other 44 messages were. 2012 will come, 3 o'clock, no paper. 2013 Radcliffe, no paper. Even as I'm listening to all the messages, the phone is ringing off the hook. 140 Tipton, no paper. No paper. It's like they were all speaking in one cranky, mutinous voice. No paper. No paper. I thought, oh my God, I broke Cambria. And right then, Rick shows up with all the papers in his truck. We got to deliver them right then. He's furious. You know, I try to tell him Steve shafted me. He doesn't care. He has one point to make. A supervisor is like the manager of a sports team. When the players play well, the manager looks good. And I was so ticked off that I did something kind of immature, and I pretended not to understand the point. Oh, so are you saying, like, the manager is the best player of all of them? No, I'm saying the manager comes with the game plan. Oh, wait, so the players don't have to show up if they don't want to? No, I'm saying that, wait, does every player get a different manager? No, I'm not. He's turning red, he's shrieking, and I looked at him and said, just shut up and drive. A couple of days later, I was offered the job as one-man think tank with a Hollywood pedigree at this fledgling video company. So a new door opened, and I gave my notice and kind of played out the string on the paper route. And of course, now I'm seeing how the light is cutting through the pine trees and how cute some of those houses are in Cambria. And when I think back on the paper route, I might as well have been nine, because really I cast it in a nostalgic glow. You know, it would be so nice to be able to reach across to the guy behind the wheel who's tying himself in knots and tell him, this is the easiest job in the most uncomplicated time of your life that you will ever have. Before marriage, before kids, before stressful jobs. Look, not everything is a metaphor. You don't get to choose the arc of your life. You don't get to decide how you're going to fall in love. Sometimes you just have to shut up and drive. Thank you.